All right, everybody who's going to speak tonight, you've already signed in, so we've got your name and everything. So we'll call the meeting of the Development Review Board order. Will the secretary call a roll?
Sure. Member O'Brien?
Here.
Member Rule?
Here.
Member Crosby?
Here.
Chairman Martin?
Here.
Member Fishman, Ryan, and Dombrowski are absent. We have a quorum.
All right, the first matter on the agenda this evening is to review and approve the minutes of our meeting held on April 19th. We have some minutes before us with a few minor corrections that were made by the secretary today. Anybody else have anything they want to add?
Page three, the second from the bottom sentence, remove the property off the tax rolls, net of.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Everybody had a chance to review these? Somebody want to make a motion to approve them?
Make a motion.
Second, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes as with the correction that Ms. O'Brien pointed out this evening. Any discussion? Want to call a roll, please?
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Member Rule?
Yes.
Member Crosby?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, the minutes are approved. Next thing on the agenda this evening is a pre-filing conference for Concordia University. You've been here before. You understand it's a pre-filing only. There's no application on file. We're not going to make a recommendation. We're here to get an idea from you generally what your application might entail, and here's get some response from us as to matters that we want to make sure that are adequately included in the application. So if you'd identify yourself and make your presentation, that would be great.
Thank you. Thanks for allowing us to come this evening. My name is Glenn Steiner. I'm with Concordia University, and we are going to make a presentation about a connecting link between two of our buildings, between the West Annex and the Christopher Center. And just in, you can go to the next slide, Lisa. So we recently completed a major renovation of the first floor of the West Annex. And as a part of the planning for that, we had envisioned a covered canopy or walk between the two buildings. And our foundation president was out visiting a donor and was just discussing the project that we were working on and identified this covered walkway. And the donor said, this is a different donor than the one on the project, said, I really think that should be enclosed. Can you do it? And so, I mean, of course we can do that. And so that donor sent our foundation person back. We worked on it, and we would like to construct a link that will look like, although not be the same size, as the link that we recently built between Truesheim, Mary Martha Hall, and the new residence hall on our campus, Concordia Hall. And so the finishes will all have the same, they'll be basically the same finishes, bronze metal, framing and glass, etc. So that's sort of the quick background behind what got us here. A donor stepped forward and said, can you do this? And we would like to. The approximate value is $400,000, and we have already received the full amount of the donation, and so we don't, we have the money. We don't feel that that the funding is going to be pulled back at this point. So we feel good that we can complete it with the dollars that we have. We also don't feel that there's any real impact from a functional standpoint on our capacity related to parking or traffic or noise or anything like that, or increased activities of any kind. This is a simple connection, enclosed connection between two buildings. Would you go to the next slide, Lisa? Thank you. For us, you know, it's obvious why we'd want to do it. It provides a nice connection between two buildings, but it also does give us the opportunity to have a new entrance point to what is a long string of buildings along the south side of our campus at the west edge. And so that we feel is good. We were accomplishing that in an outdoor way by having a set of stairs come out of the west annex as part of the renovation. Those are there now, and they will be enclosed in the link once it's completed. Also, we feel that the other link, the other one that we built between the two buildings, is We like it. We think a lot of people have commented positively on it, so we think this is a real attractive addition to our campus. So that's also motivating us. The next slide, Lisa. It's basically a single-story structure, 45 feet across by about 12 feet wide. I'd mentioned before the metal frame and the glass wall, and that its design matches the other one. They feel like it's about a 10-week period of time to construct it once we would receive approval and building permit, et cetera. We would like to start the work this summer, if possible, and have it completed in the fall at some point. We are locating it, and it's in your material. It's located about 315 feet in from the south sidewalk along Augusta Street, and so it's pretty far into our campus. Would not be easily seen or noticed from the street, and we feel like during construction it would be very very little or no impact on any neighbors or on the community. All the construction will be done interior to our campus. Would you go to the next slide, Lisa? This is an aerial shot of the campus, obviously, and the yellow ties to the yellow in your packet. In terms of where it will go, it'll basically connect those two buildings. Okay. You can go to the next slide, Lisa. This is a view from inside, an architect's rendering of what it will look like. That staircase that you see, that's one I referenced, has already been constructed as a part of that renovation project that we will be building around. What is behind me is the Christopher Center in this image. You can go to the next one, Lisa. This is a view from the north looking south at the connecting link. And so the Christopher Center here is on the right and the West Annex is on the left. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. This is right out of the letter that we gave you. These are the waivers that we are requesting. And unless you'd like me to read them all, I would not read them. But that basically is a very high-level overview of this project and what we're trying to accomplish and some pictures to illustrate it. I'd be happy to take any questions you have. Yes?
Handicap accessibility?
Yeah. So right at this point in either building, there are stairs from the planned renovation and also stairs immediately inside the Christopher Center on both sides. But both buildings, the West Annex and Christopher, have accessible entranceways at other locations. And so the main entrance to the Christopher Center faces Augusta, right off the parking lot. There's an elevator in that lobby that serves all floors. And then on the other side, on the east side of the West Annex, there's a ramp that comes into a much older connecting link from both the north and the south. And so we have accessible entrances to both of these buildings, but not right at this location.
So this link is not going to be handicapped accessible?
No.
So so it's funny, my son he goes to the Early Childhood Center,
yeah,
right there,
sure,
the Christopher Center.
Yeah.
So I was there 2 hours ago, right there.
Yeah.
And so how does it work? Because this feeds in, where you enter into the Christopher Center, that goes right into the Early Childhood Center. So as far as security, I know I've never gone that way because we're not allowed to, but
right.
How is that going to change the access into that area?
Yeah, so the outside doors, trying to think of which image to go to. So the outside doors that are at the far right edge of this, just out of the image,
right,
those are accessible anytime the building is open for access to a staircase so that students, faculty, et cetera, can go upstairs to the second floor classrooms, offices. They can go all the way to the third floor if they want to. But the first floor is secured there by a door that has access control on it, and no one is allowed to pass through there. It's basically an emergency egress,
right,
out of the Early Childhood Center at that point. And so there's a small vestibule as you enter that door is part of, but you're not allowed to go through that door.
Gotcha, right. So that stays exactly the way it is now.
I think what's going to happen is the outside set of doors will probably have to move about a foot to the east to accommodate a firewall separation.
Sure.
That's not terribly, you don't see that in those detailed drawings yet. That's just sort of come about since those drawings.
Okay.
But the security point for the Early Childhood Center remains just as it is.
Okay. Very good.
Yes. Measurements on the page say 45 by 15 feet. You just mentioned 45 by 12 feet.
Yeah, I believe it is. I believe it will wind up being 12 feet. I updated this, and some of those drawings have been, those were a progress set that we gave. They're a work in progress as we go. I think the final dimension will be 12.
So the whole of the campus is under planned development, right?
Yes.
That's why any new construction on the campus, you're required to come before us, even for something as insignificant or minor that doesn't involve the construction of any new structures, really. You're enclosing an existing walkway, as I understand it.
Correct, although I would consider it a new structure. I mean, we're not here to dispute that. We believe it's a new structure. We understand. I would like to just follow up. In the formal application, we'll double check 12 or 15 and make sure that it's right in that material.
Are there rules to the handicap accessibility on a new structure?
I'm sure that there are, and I would not try to quote them here, but I don't know that they would pertain to this. We did go through a review with the village staff on this, and they felt it would be acceptable to have this as long as we maintain the other accessible entrance points to these two buildings. And so I wouldn't want to try to quote what the code is on such a structure.
Sure, and I think Clifford's going to be the one that reviews that and makes sure that it complies with the building code.
That's who we talked to, because we had that concern as we conceptualized this link. Do we need to accommodate for the handicap at this point?
Right.
And that's when we asked the question.
And so when you come back, we can hopefully just have an understanding from Clifford that you've taken care of that. You've checked that box.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. We'll double check it again between now and when we would come back.
Yeah, so you can address it in your application or your presentation also, whether or not this structure has to be handicapped accessible or what exemption there is. All right, any other questions for Mr. Steiner?
Well, we're being asked for the waivers, and so although it's really boring to hear the text read, I think we might want to just sort of touch on each one of those waivers just to make sure that it is for what reason that it's being waived. I mean, it might be relatively obvious, but I think we should probably go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and just say the first one is this, and so we don't need it because of that.
Yeah.
Because that's what
right,
we're
so
being asked to decide.
These are all in section 10.19.6 of the
That's the one you don't have? There you go.
And the first waiver you're asking for is B5.
Scaled site plan.
Which would basically be a site plan of the area, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So why are you requesting a waiver of that application requirement?
We felt like because it was so far inside the campus that it wouldn't, and it's so unobtrusive to the surrounding community, that the necessity for a formal site plan could be waived in this case. The grade and the terrain is all virtually level in this section of the campus.
Isn't this the site plan? I mean,
well, that's our plat of survey, which we modified to show you the location in specific. So I mean, if you
were to say waive the formal site plan, but we would include a sufficiently detailed
drawing will be in the application.
Yeah. So as long as it's noted that something like this appears, then I think that makes sense. And then the second one is site plan showing proposed showing lot area, required yards and setbacks on lot area cover, blah blah blah, and again. It's so far from the boundaries of the property, and usually these requests are for indicating impingements on adjacent properties.
Right, yeah.
So Yeah, so that's...
That's why we were requesting.
Requesting that one. And then landscaping plans, since no landscaping is involved, you're not doing any real modifications to landscaping for this?
No, and the area that the building will go, that the link will go on, is all impervious concrete walk today. Mm-hmm. It's concrete, banded concrete with pavers inset into the concrete, so it's, yeah, it's already impervious.
And then substance of any...
So instead of asking us for waivers on some of these things, because it's not always good that we, you know, we waive everything, you know, what about just saying that for number 8, for example, your landscaping plan, just say that there will be no change to the existing landscaping.
We certainly can say that in the application.
And that's
yes.
So then...
We could do that for each of these, put a brief explanation in if that would be good.
Well, I think for the first couple that we've talked about, it's appropriate for us to consider a waiver, but there are several. This is the first one on my list, where if you just would say that there is no change in the existing landscaping.
There is no change to the easement. The same for easements.
Then don't ask us to waive that. And then it doesn't appear that we are waiving so many requirements.
Certainly, we can do that.
And I think the same as Mike points out is the next one. You say there are no change to existing easements, so just tell us there's no change to existing easements and don't ask for that waiver.
Yeah, certainly agreed.
All right, so 8 and 9, you're going to withdraw your request for waivers, okay?
We will, and we'll modify the language in the application.
Right.
And then the traffic study waiver is appropriate because just to state that.
Right.
If I could just go back to the top. The first two, I mean, I realize you haven't voted, but those would be waivers.
Right.
And then the next two, we will modify the language.
Right.
And then the traffic study would be waiver. Because
right.
I want to make sure that I remove the right provisions right. or the right requests.
And then professional economic access.
I think that on the economic study, I don't have any trouble suggesting that there be a waiver of the economic viability and the economic impact on the proposed development upon the village, but you know, why can't you just put in the application what you told us now that you have on hand the funds to complete the project through a donation, and then we won't consider a waiver of 13A, but we'll consider a waiver of 13B and C.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We can do that.
Okay.
Environmental impact study. Same thing.
Perhaps you could withdraw your request for the waiver of the environmental impact study and simply tell us that there is none required.
We can do that. We did that on the residence hall project as an example. So we can do that.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is not a waiver. That's just a statement.
Yeah. Then it's not a waiver. Right?
Would it be acceptable that we would submit a revised letter to you
No.
as an outcome of the meeting?
No, we're going to deal with this tonight. And
okay.
And when you leave here this evening, you'll know what we've agreed to waive.
Okay.
And they'll be in the minutes and everything.
Okay, that's fine.
Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Plan showing off-site utility improvements because none are required.
Well, can't you do the same thing?
Just say for that one.
There are no off-site utility improvements required for this project. And then we won't waive that one.
Same for the next one, right? The site drainage plan?
Yep.
Is there already a walkway there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is. Yes, sir.
And so the proposed enclosure of the walkway, the construction of the structure, isn't going to change the existing drainage on the facility?
No.
So I don't mind giving a waiver for
Do that one for the site drainage plan, make that a waiver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about your next request. You know, we have always considered waiver applications, but to my knowledge, we've never been asked to waive the neighborhood meeting, regardless of how far from the neighbors, you know, this improvement might be. I personally don't think that's a good thing to begin to waive that.
The requirement for the resident meeting can be waived from time to time. It's not inherently required. The code talks about if required, a resident meeting will be held. So there are some projects where the scope of it doesn't call for it, or, I mean, there's certainly still public input at the public hearing process. There's public notice regarding that. There's public notice regarding the board meeting's consideration. So it would eliminate one opportunity for it, but not all opportunities.
Okay. I think that's fair enough, because it is really, I can't see any place where somebody resident close to here would object to that. And they do have another forum to do so if they want to. So I think that's probably being cautious, but it's probably worth, you know, it's probably okay to waive that.
The Development Review Board doesn't necessarily have to waive it. If you feel strongly that it should be held, I think mm-hmm. it would probably be appropriate to give them that direction. But I don't think you have to, Frank, unless you disagree, I don't know that you have to waive that.
Well, where is the section that you're quoting?
Okay, it's under, go back up. It's 10.19.5A.1.E. The applicant, prior to submitting a formal application for a plan development, may be required to schedule a meeting to discuss the proposed development and its impact on area residents. If such a meeting is required, the applicant shall send a written notice of the meeting to all property owners within 500 feet, not less than 15 days prior to the meeting. A copy of the notice will be provided, et cetera, et cetera. So if the meeting is held, then the written summary of the comments must be included in the application.
It reads kind of the other way around. Like, if we're requiring them, we're saying, hey, you're going to have a meeting on this one. Then they need to do it. But they could proceed without.
They could proceed straight to public hearing.
Right. But I don't think it's necessary for us to waive it or not waive it. Right?
I would agree. So there are times where application requirements like this can be waived by the zoning administrator. Now, just because the zoning administrator waives it doesn't mean that that's the final disposition of it. If the DRB comes back and says, we disagree, we think you should have to comply with this, mm-hmm. then the DRB has that discretion.
Okay, well, we may vote on these separately then. Okay, so that's B19. The next one, the site plan.
Neighboring structures, detail plans on lot area, uses, floors. Again, this is another one that I don't see it being necessary. So.
So you haven't told us. I'm at the last two now. You haven't told us where the requirement for a detailed site plan is. Is that the same as what is requirement number six, which we've already discussed on the?
I would reflect back to the residence hall application. It was in fact the same drawing from us in two locations in the application, and so. From our perspective, it would be putting in two of the same thing. And it would appear just like that drawing that you've already said that you would accept.
Well, where is the requirement? What's the statutory site for the requirement that you're asking us to waive?
I don't think there is one. So the statutory requirement doesn't list these specific items. It doesn't list a detailed site plan showing neighboring structures, although that typically does appear on a site plan. Lot area, required yards and setbacks, common space, that's all part of...
Is that all part of five?
Six.
Five and six, we've already...
You've already talked about that.
We've already talked about that.
So this is kind of not necessary.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the photometric analysis?
That's not actually in the code. It's just something that we have required as a matter of best practice.
I think this is something we would request at some point and say, hey, I think we're going to need a...
So I just try to get ahead of it, yeah.
Right.
So I think probably we just omit it unless we're thinking that there's going to be a light spill issue, but again...
Well, maybe what you could tell us is in your application is, you know, between this location and whatever lighting you might have on this walkway, you know, to the west, it's so many feet to the parking lot, and the parking lot's got, you know, overhead, high standard overhead lights and whatever it is.
Yeah.
But there is no application requirement for a photometric study. I think what Lisa says is right, that we often ask for that, so I don't think it's appropriate to waive it at this time.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you address it in the application, then it will probably
right.
be
right.
looked at that way.
Right. Okay, so we're back now. I think that what your request for waivers is B5, B6, B8, no.
No,
B5, B6, you've withdrawn B8, you've withdrawn B9, so we have B12.
We're not waiving the 19.6, the professional economic analysis. They're just including a statement there. So that's not a waiver either.
So that would
I
be 13.
I think we're waiving, I think we talked about waiving 13B and C.
Okay. Yeah, there is
okay.
no
okay. waiving.
There's no A on that.
A is the financial capability of the applicant to complete the proposed development.
Yeah, okay. So
A and B.
All right, so that's fine. We're waiving.
But the extent of that is kind of limited to stating where is the funds coming from.
Right.
Where did they come from?
Right.
A, first part.
Right, A
right.
for A,
yeah. All right, you've 14, the environmental impact study.
You're just making a statement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're going to withdraw that application requirement?
We will.
All right.
We'll just say not required.
And 16, wait. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 16.
16.
Same.
You're going to withdraw that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
17, the site drainage plan. You're going to withdraw that one? And just make
I think we said that was a waiver one.
Huh?
That
all right, that's going to
that
we're
gonna
be
a waiver.
We're going to consider a waiver that one. 19, the neighborhood meeting.
We're going to have a vote.
We're going to vote on that one. And then the last two are not requirements of the application, so you're not going to. So you got a list, Lisa?
I do.
Okay, so tell us again what waivers we are going to. Be asked to vote on.
It
just
is
the section.
Sure. Title 10, Chapter 19, Section 6, B, 5, 6, 12, 13, B and C, 17, and 19.
Is that okay with you?
Yes.
And, 19. Yeah.
Okay, so... I think I would like to somebody, or I'll move that we grant the waivers for all of the requests except for 19.
So that's 5, 6, 12, 13, B, and C, and 17.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All right. You want to call the roll?
Sure. Chairman, I'll call you last. Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Crosby?
Yes.
Mr. Rule?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, now why doesn't somebody move to waive the requirement of B19?
I so move.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All right, you want to call the roll on that one?
Sure. Mr. Rule?
Yes.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so that waiver is also granted. Okay, anything else that you need you want to tell us this evening?
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for us, for the applicant? We'll see you sometime later this summer.
We certainly hope so, yes.
Okay.
And thank you again.
Anything else on the agenda this evening? We have a motion to dismiss.
So move to the
second. I'll second it.
All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Right.
Dismissed.